Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Key, you had your 50th birthday party. For those who weren't listening at the top of the 6 o'clock hour Eastern, it was, you know, I've seen the video.
Videos.
I'm sorry I couldn't be there. I had got surgery on my eyeball. I had a detached retina, so I'm not allowed to fly. But I know was like 300 people showed up in your backyard. First of all, you heard the sound on the way in when formerly our producer, Evan Wilner, said, Key, coach is where when you walk past first class. Well, if you look at Key's backyard very much, you can see that he is not aware of what comes after first class. That's quite a spread you had there, Key.
Well, you know, let's put it this way. It was fun. And you should have been there, but I didn't want you to fly across the country holding your eyeball.
Yeah.
That's for sure. We want to make sure that you stay healthy. But we consumed enough of everything for you, so I can tell you all about it. And everybody was there. Look at me in the background right there. In the red, I was walking and stumbling. Oh, it was fun, though. It was a fun evening for sure. The food was all good. Look at me. Right, you'll see me right here, Max, coming up. I got on the red tank top right there. Look at me. I can
teetering.
I was barely moving, right?
Yeah.
I was like, let me stay away from this pool. But it was fun, man. You know, the food was amazing, what everybody told me, because I never even got a chance to eat any other food. But it was good, man.
Alcohol.
Marcellus was there.
Both of our former radio partners were there from ESPN in L.A., LZ Granderson and Marcellus Wiley.
Yeah, and our producer, Raj.
And our producer. Look at that, a whole reunion.
It was a very beautiful place and sight and people. Everybody was beautiful, man. It was a sight that I always, you know, look at in the world in general and just feel like, you know, everybody should be like this, man. You should have black people, Jewish people, Hispanic people, normal everything.
Yeah.
Just there and with no problems at all. But we don't get it that way. But, you know.
You know what they do to get it that way, Key? The Lakers. Like, I think about that, having lived in L.A. for 6 years.
Yeah.
The place where everybody comes together, because L.A. is very divided geographically, yes, and socioeconomically. It's diverse, but it's not very integrated. And the Lakers games, that's one of the reasons I think the Lakers make L.A. a city more than any other single thing. Everyone descends upon Staples for Lakers games, and you see everyone represented there. Your place looks like
right,
a Lakers
but
game.
But that's the same thing with USC's football.
Yeah, for USC sure. Football USC football, same thing. Those are the most popular brands.
And they come from everywhere, right?
Yeah.
For the USC games.
Yep.
They come from East L.A., South Central L.A. They come from Orange County. They come from as far as Westlake, Thousand Oaks. It's just everybody comes together. And that's the beauty of being in not just L.A., but just in general. People should all kind of take a step back at times. And that's what I had to do when I was putting this thing together, because I got friends that are uber rich to a whole nother level.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got friends that,
like Jay.
Yeah. Like Jay. They're working 9 to 5 and grinding. I mean, that's just, but they all can be in one spot, get along, and bounce ideas and things off one another. It's just, it was a beautiful thing. My wife did an amazing job in putting it together.
That's awesome. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
Now I'm waiting on the 100.
Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk. By then, I can take this off. See this? See this green bracelet? I have to keep wearing this because just so I don't fly. I'm like, wait, why do I have to keep this on? Change in pressure, increase in IOP resulting in blindness. I'm like,
no, it wouldn't have been. It wouldn't have, done any good. You flying across the country and then you get there and you can't see. Come on, Max.
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
Yeah, I know. I wasn't even going to tell you either. I was going to surprise you because I know. Because you and Yates and I were at dinner, about a month ago?
Yeah.
And you were like,
Yates came out and he was out for a couple of days, a weekend basically. He went by the Drew League and LeBron was playing and Kyrie didn't show up.
42 points, yeah.
And he didn't get a chance to get in. The line was crazy. The line was, it felt like it was a mile long. Mm. He sent me, FaceTime me to show me. So he didn't even get a chance to go to the Drew League. He just came by to party and have fun.
I love those pro-am style. Drew League, you get the pros, you get the college players, the whole thing. Yeah, so we're at dinner, you, me, and Yates about a month ago. And in Brooklyn, and you're talking, and Yates is talking about going. You're like, you should go, and I purposely played it. Didn't say anything, nothing. I'm like, I'm going to surprise this dude, show up at his party, and then my eyeball basically exploded.
Then you not showing me, you might have not got in
because I didn't RSVP. Damn.
They'd be like, hey, this is Max Kellerman outside.
I'd have to text
don't let
you.
Him in.
Flew all that way and can't even get through the gate to your gated community. Listen, in an exclusive interview with Yahoo Sports, James Harden told Chris Haynes, here's a quote, okay? I had conversations with Daryl, meaning Daryl Morey, that was the GM in Houston, and who really discovered that Harden was much better than people realized and traded for him, and, the rest is history. And now the president of basketball operations in Philadelphia. I had conversations with Daryl, and it was explained how we could get better and what the market value was for certain players. I told Daryl to improve the roster, sign who we needed to sign, and give me whatever is left over, meaning the money. This is how bad I want to win. I want to compete for a championship. That's all that matters to me at this stage. I'm willing to take less to put us in a position to accomplish that. What do you think about this, Key?
I think it's great. You always look, money, nobody wants to turn down money, mm-hmm. right? They're just people that are uber rich, super billionaires still working and making money. But when your goal is really to win a championship and you feel like you have an opportunity to win a championship, his lifestyle is not going to change. So if they can go get the players like the PJ Tuckers that they believe helps them get to where they want to get to, and he takes a little bit of a slice, that's okay. I think that just shows that narrative about that selfishness and all that sort of stuff goes out the window because that's not the case. The case is what we've seen. Hey, man, give me what's left. Now, what's left is a lot. What's left is not a little, and he'll still be okay.
Yeah, he'll be fine. It'll be X number of millions. But Keyshawn J. Will and Max presented by Progressive Insurance. But Key, there's, people like to say someone was very stoic. They refer to stoicism, right? He was stoic, meaning he's not showing emotion, this and that. But actually, the philosophy of stoicism was largely about like making your will the same as what's happening, the same as the universe. In other words, as long as whatever happens you're good with, and I don't sign up for stoicism, but this is the philosophy, then you'll never really be unhappy, right? Because it's like, okay, this is whatever happens, that's what I wanted.
But I wonder how much I am, Max. If I make a decision to do something, that's the decision mm-hmm. I made.
Okay, so maybe happy. That's what I'm saying. Maybe Harden is doing that. Like, look, he also went into, in the same interview, he went into the fact that he had a hamstring issue. He was with a new team.
Yeah.
He still almost averaged a triple-double, all that. Maybe that's what he's doing with the salary, though. Like, he and Morey, the relationship, I'm sure, helps. But it's also like, nah, no one beating down his door to give him a super max deal, right? So, might as well.
But even so, though, there's something about loyalty and trust. Mm-hmm. And when you have a loyalty relationship and trust with somebody, like Morey, I think, you have to factor that into his decision making.
Right.
Even if another team came to him with a supermax, the relationship is worth more than the actual dollar that you're going to be getting out in an open market.
You know what it is? It's his happiness. Like, that reason he wanted out of Houston, the reason he wanted out of Brooklyn, he wanted to go where he wanted to go. He wanted to be happy. And that's, like, what's the price on that? What price? So Danwell House, who they signed, nice player, used to play with him on the Rockets. That's, you know, a guy like P.J. Tucker. These are better than the kind of role players that the Lakers can afford to get, for example. You know, and the reason the Sixers are able to do it and get deeper is because Harden took the pay cut. And now I'd like to see him actually hit the big shots in the playoffs. That's like, here, there's the next step. Coming up, will the Cowboys offense, Key, be less dynamic this season after losing some of their playmakers this offseason? We're going to talk about that next because one former Cowboy quarterback, current broadcaster, seems to think so. So, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Even though I asked for a mimosa with no orange juice, a little bit like this, they put the whole damn thing.
I was going to say, what's a mimosa with no orange juice?
Well, Key, let me ask you
something. Champagne.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
I mean, I don't understand anybody who signs up for a roast.
By the way, Jeff, Key didn't know what a roast was before we started this segment today.
That's all Key does is roast people. He doesn't
That's what
realize.
I'm saying.
Well, I didn't know that, Jeff. I'm like, I guess.
Wait, people do that on a TV show? I thought we do that every minute of every day.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. We're coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17, and we are joined now by ESPN NFL reporter extraordinaire and show-off about the climate in Miami, Jeff Darlington, who will make sure Key, no matter what, any ESP, anytime you see Jeff from his house and he's on ESPN, he's on TV, he will show you that palm tree.
That's right.
Well, I mean, I guess
that's
so.
The Keyshawn palm tree right there.
The key.
You know why?
It's the palm key.
Always sunny. It's always beautiful.
Oh, well, there you go. Jeff, Tony Romo said, there you go. Tony Romo said, the Cowboys offense is going to shift in philosophy a little bit. The identity might change and get back to the, like, 2016, 17, 18 kind of season, you know, identity because Amari Cooper, there are some guys subtracted who are dynamic playmakers from the offense. How much, first of all, you think that's true? And how much added pressure is that on Dak?
I mean, I can see that a little bit, Max. You know, they still have CeeDee Lamb, who's an absolute stud, which I feel like is the only reason you could possibly justify letting Amari Cooper go via trade, by the way, their own decision. And I think the idea that the running game would be effective is not only because of the loss of some of the dynamic players in the wide receiver game, but also the running game feels like it's actually taking on a little bit of different identity and a more of a committee approach with Tony Pollard and Zeke sort of being able to maybe share some of the load. I actually think the Cowboys would benefit by maybe like preserving Zeke a little bit and letting Pollard do what he does, given his effectiveness last season. And maybe that'd make Zeke better ultimately, even if his stats aren't quite as high.
Yeah, you know, Jeff, I think when you talk about changing philosophies and getting back to what they did in those years that Max talked about, it's easier for an offensive lineman to push forward than to sit back on his heels. Pass protection for an offensive line, you know, whether you're young or you're older, is very difficult. If I can mold you and push you forward and push you backwards as I go forward, it can benefit me based on age, experience, the health, all of those sort of things. And when I got dynamic running game coming behind me, opposed to having my quarterback drop back so much, especially when, yeah, CeeDee Lamb is a talented receiver, but we haven't seen him in a role where he's carrying the passing game other than at Oklahoma, which I think you and I both know college is way different than the pros. When you become the man in the pros, you become the man. In college, you can walk in straight out of high school and be the man with no problem at all. So it's going to change for him a little bit. And if you take the pressure off the quarterback by running the ball, your team ultimately offensively could look better.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's still, by the way, weird to me that Amari Cooper is not even there. Like, I still have trouble wrapping around my mind about why that even happened. Like, why wouldn't they keep Cooper in the mix in Dallas?
Why not?
It still feels weird to me.
Well, I think one, economically, you're trying to move the money around because you got other people you got to address, all those sort of things. And you think that you can get the same type of production out of CeeDee Lamb that you got out of Amari Cooper. This is where general managers, front office people, and coaches go wrong at. They automatically assume that the second guy can step up. And if you think about it, Jeff, how many receivers that since you've been covering the National Football League have gone from the number two guy to the number one guy and has continued to show why he deserved to be the number one guy? It doesn't happen. It happens this much, you know. And so I can go all the way back to when I first started playing in the NFL. I can think about Terrell Owens taking over for Jerry Rice. Eventually, T.O. got there. They realized that. I can think about how Alvin Harper moved on from Michael Irvin, and the Tampa Bay Bucks gave him a boatload to be the number one guy. 3 years later, he was basically gone, and they had replaced him with Bert Emanuel. So it's tough, but it can be done.
So Jeff, do you, like Key mentioned it, should the run game be more of a priority for the Cowboys? I know a lot of people have said this a lot. When the Cowboys run X amount of times, they do so much better. But when you pay Dak all that money, and then I hear things like, well, he's not the kind of guy who can drop back 50 times. Really? Isn't that why you give a quarterback all that money? Do you think it's a good idea for them to make the run game a priority?
See, I don't care as much about when you say you paid Dak all that money because he's got so many different jobs. He's a quarterback. He's the franchise, the face of the organization. I would actually argue when you pay Zeke all of that money, you've got to get more production out of him. But the only thing I'd say here is, like, from a strategic standpoint, you could run Zeke into the ground, which they've done at times, and it doesn't necessarily ultimately benefit you in the long term. And I think that that's where maybe with Tony, they finally maybe hit something here, given his production last year, where they could say, hey, this is a good idea. Let's not worry about Zeke's statistics from a standpoint of getting the most of our dollar out of him, but actually making him extremely effective throughout the year and maybe into the postseason. Mm-hmm. That, to me, would be the shift in strategy that I think would probably most benefit the Cowboys at this point.
Key, you're someone who likes that kind of approach. The quarterback game manages is big on third down several times a game when you need them, and otherwise they run the ball, they play sound defense and all that. And whether or not they do that, at this moment, do you think the Cowboys or the Eagles have a better offense right now in the NFC East? I'll throw that out to both of you. Key, I'll start with you. Cowboys or Eagles, better offense?
I still think it's the Cowboys because they got the better quarterback.
Yeah.
And whenever you have the better quarterback, that's the answer, right? They just got the better quarterback. So naturally, they're going to have the better offense. I think when you look at the receiving core, somewhat of a wash. Philadelphia's offensive line might be slightly better.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot better at this point.
But I still think it's the Cowboys.
Jeff, where are you on
that? Yeah, I tend to agree, Key. I'm similar. Now, I would say the Eagles are in kind of a little bit of a plug-and-play situation with that quarterback position. If Jalen Hurts steps up, great. But if he doesn't, like, they've got themselves a little bit of an offense with A.J. Brown now, especially to maybe make that next step to where they are better than the Cowboys. But, man, that division, I don't know, man. Key, maybe you disagree. That division, every year we talk about them so much, and it's because they're big market teams, and every year they disappoint us. So, like, it's hard for me to really even sit here and say that anybody's going to come out of that division and really light the world on fire until they prove it. Because I know the conversation still has to exist because somebody's going to win that division. But until somebody truly steps up, it's not about who's better in that division. It's who's actually better in the NFC and can actually make a run in the postseason. As far as I'm concerned, none of the teams in that division can do it.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jeff. I don't think anybody in the division can make a strong run in the NFC. I just, you know, the Cowboys set you up for a heartbreak every single year. You know, the Giants are what they are. Philadelphia is what they are. And Washington could be a surprise.
Meantime.
Yeah.
Meantime,
a little bit.
Guys, yeah. I want to get to wide receivers. Because Justin Jefferson said, and a lot of people are like, Justin Jefferson might be. Justin Jefferson said Davante Adams is the best wide receiver in the NFL. But that after this season, he, meaning Justin Jefferson, will be the best. I actually think when he says that, that probably captures the opinion of the if you had to say who's the best now and who will be best at the end of the season, the maybe not the majority, but the plurality of people, meaning the largest group, might say that, might say Davante Adams now, Justin Jefferson at the end of the year. What do you think?
Really?
I think a lot of people think that. What do you think Jefferson needs? Well, listen, you're the reporter, Jeff. Am I wrong? Is that not the temperature of people?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't really like surveyed the league at this point. I'm just like the you know, dumb analyst who's kind of questioning. Like, I think Justin Jefferson's awesome, but I think there's a lot of really good wide receivers coming up right now.
That, I agree.
Like, first of all, why can't Davante Adams be the best after this year, too? I believe that's very possible. But also, like, DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, there's a lot of guys out there that are A.J.
Jamar Chase.
A.J. Brown is another guy who's coming up. Yeah, Jamar Chase is a freak. Like, yeah. I just think there's a lot of players coming up right now that before we go saying that, you know, all I have to do is be better than Davante Adams. And I'm not really knocking Justin Jefferson. I love the mentality, and he's very capable of being top-tier receiver.
What do you think he has to do? Jeff, what do you think he has to do? If, like, how would he put himself in a position to be discussed? I'll start with you, Jeff. How does he put himself in a position to be discussed as maybe the best receiver in the league?
A little bit's probably out of his control, but it's probably a postseason run. You know, it's being really good in the postseason, which is something obviously Minnesota has not really been able to capture. So, you know, regular season's awesome, and we will definitely give flowers to the wide receivers who perform well there, but it's you know, the guys that we really talk about in terms of being able to truly be the best in the league are the guys that we're talking about in January.
He ain't lying, Key.
February.
He ain't lying.
Yeah, no, I think Justin Jefferson has a ways to go to be considered the best. I mean, I can run down a number of wide receivers, including my nephew, Michael Thomas, that will be back fully healthy this year.
Right, as, Michael Thomas.
I mean, like you know what I'm saying, Jeff? So when you talk about Davante Adams and DeAndre Hopkins and a healthy Michael Thomas and Keenan Allen, I mean, those guys to me are the cats. I don't care about the statistical numbers in a 17-game season in the National Football League. That doesn't – if I'm throwing you the damn ball 500 times, you're going to have numbers. But it's what are you doing in the playoffs? What are you doing at the moment that they really need your help? Are you working that corner to get open? Are you doing those sort of things? Or are you just fitting into a system and getting numbers, eye-popping numbers, so everybody thinks that you are that guy?
Well, listen, if Kirk Cousins is your quarterback, then I wouldn't have high hopes that Justin Jefferson will ever be considered the best receiver in the league, because I don't see Kirk Cousins taking that team on a deep playoff run. You know, Jamar Chase, on the other hand, he's a rookie. And if not for Aaron Donald, he might catch the touchdown that wins the Super Bowl like that as a rookie, because he's in a better situation, right? I mean, these guys are, it seems to me, just about interchangeable at that level. You're talking about a handful of guys, half a dozen guys, eight guys, who are you know, at the very top of the NFL in terms of their game.
Yeah, and I don't want to turn it into hate fest on Justin Jefferson. He's an absolute stud. It's more of like a conversation about who's the best at the wide receiver position, but I also would argue Davante Adams, like a lot of people seem to be suggesting that he's going to have this fall off. Like, Derek Carr is very capable of putting up the same kind of monster numbers. In fact, I think through most of the season last year, he was leading the NFL in passing yards. So, you know, people who think Davante Adams' numbers are going to fall off, I tend to disagree. I think that Derek Carr is going to get the most out of him, and he's going to bring the most out of Derek Carr.
Well, that's because those individuals that think that Davante Adams' numbers is going to suffer because he's now with Derek Carr, they don't know football. They don't know what they're watching. They're looking at something totally different.
He has been very high on Derek Carr the whole time.
In fact, his numbers might be even better with Derek Carr, which is saying something.
Yeah, that could be true.
Wouldn't be the first time recently that they paired old high school, old college teammates who were, you know, close on a team. I just mentioned Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow, right?
Like, that's right.
And those guys were young, just getting their feet wet. These guys are veterans who have that same kind of relationship. All right. That is ESPN NFL reporter Jeff Darlington. Jeff, great to talk to you as always.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
And joining us now, Key... I don't know if you know this guy, if you've ever met. Alan Hahn of Barton Hahn, noon to 3 Eastern here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Alan, by the way, I had some time to kill the other day, so I got up the episode of The Honeymooners where because you know how Bart Scott is like Ed Norton, right?
Fight.
Yeah, he always puts Alan Hahn in these situations like the 2-on-2 game. Bart Hahn starts talking, starts writing checks that Alan has to cash.
Yeah.
And it was the episode, Key, you were a Honeymooners fan at all?
Nah.
Okay.
At the pool hall.
The pool hall.
Yes.
Harvey! Hey, Harvey! And, hey, why'd you pick a fight with that big guy, Ralph? It's so good. Anyway, on the latest episode of Uninterrupted, Alan, LeBron James said this.
Definitely culture first, and then if you can blend that with the talent and the right pieces, it's the gateway to being successful for a long period of time. But yeah, like the culture is the number one thing.
Fair or not fair, do you love that pressure at this point in your career of like win or bust? I don't care about scoring title, I don't care about anything, it's win or bust. Do you like that pressure?
Yeah, I'm obsessed with it, with win or bust. And what makes me have sleepless nights is when you don't have everyone that feels the same way on your club.
LeBron does everything for a reason. It's calculated. Everything that he does is planned, especially when he does things, obviously, when he does things publicly. And first of all, let's make this a PSA for a lot of young players coming into the league, because if you want to be adored by fans and appreciated by fans, that's the attitude everybody wants you to have. So what he's saying is great, but why he's saying it now is what we're all wondering, right? So who is he subtexting now? Is he subtexting Jeannie Buss about – make sure we've got players in this roster that are championship caliber, that have that mindset of winning first, team first, because I've got a little bit left, a little bit of tread left on this tire, and I've got at least one more title in me. Is he talking to him? Is he talking to Russ? Is he talking to Anthony Davis? Like, that's the stuff that we have to decode.
What do you think? Like, my mind immediately obviously goes
to
Russ.
Two of the three. So you're going to Russ. I think he's already moved on from Russ.
So you think he's talking to AD and Genie?
I think it's either AD or Genie, and I'm leaning more towards Genie because, remember, last month when Genie talked to the LA Times, she wanted Kobe here because he can say the things that I can't, because she knew she could lean on him and could trust him to handle situations where she was unsure of what to do. And you clearly, that is the warring factions that continue to be the family of the Lakers, which is bring in Kyrie Irving. And then there's the other voice in the other side of her head in the ear saying, you don't want to bring that guy into here. Look what he just did in Brooklyn. And she's not sure what to do. Do I keep LeBron happy so he signs an extension and finishes his career here? Or do I know that I don't know if I want to bring a guy like that into my organization, give up more assets, and then give this guy an extension at the age of 37?
If they could, I hear what the concern might be, but given what the Lakers just did and how the team is constructed, man, so what if Kyrie brings you problems? You're still going to be better off than without him at this point, right?
Yeah, but I don't think LeBron, to be honest with you, I don't think LeBron was talking to anybody. I think LeBron was just talking. I don't think he was sending a message to Anthony Davis, a guy that he went out and orchestrated in getting. I don't think he was talking to Westbrook, another guy that he orchestrated, went out to get. And as far as Jeannie Buss goes, I don't think he was saying anything to Jeannie Buss or responding to Jeannie Buss for that matter, because she said how much she missed Kobe and Kobe would be able to tell her something. Because LeBron can't win the Kobe battle here in LA, so he's not going to do that. And the other two guys, he brought them both to the team. So if they have a non-winning championship mindset, that's on him. That's not on them. That's on him as the leader of the team, him as the guy that everybody looks to. I think he just was having a conversation about it. It has nothing to do with Kyrie Irving, because Kyrie Irving, everybody already knows what he is. And people can continue to say that he destroyed the Brooklyn Nets, whatever you want to call it. Kyrie Irving has been here in L.A. working out and having fun in Los Angeles with other NBA guys, including Kevin Durant. So it's like, I don't know whether the Kyrie situation fits in with LeBron James. LeBron certainly wants Kyrie. If they could work out a deal to get him from the Nets, they certainly would. I don't know if that means taking Westbrook back and giving up the first-round pick. But again, here we are in the summer. The season doesn't start, as you know, Han, until October. So we got a few months to even worry about this situation.
So let's move to the Knicks while we got the time. Now, here's the thing about Donovan.
What you mean
Mitchell.
About the championship drought? They didn't win the summer league, so now it'll be 50 years.
Yeah, it'll be 50 years. Yeah, right.
Now we know it's official.
If you want to trade for Donovan Mitchell, I get it. Mm-hmm. If there's already a player on your team better than Donovan Mitchell, then you can give up the farm for Donovan Mitchell, and you might have a nucleus of a championship. But they don't got a guy nearly as good as Donovan Mitchell. Right. They have another small guard in the backcourt.
Let me ask you a question. What's the farm? What farm?
Right, they don't even have a farm
that's
to give
point.
Up.
Yeah. So, all right, see, that's what I mean. And guys like you will do this. You'll talk out of both sides of your mouth.
No, draft picks.
The Knicks don't have a farm. They don't have any good players on their roster. Their young guys stink. They blew the draft here. They blew the draft there. Well, you can't give up all these great players for All-Star.
Alan, I'm not
what
saying
farm?
Great players.
They don't have a farm.
I'm not saying great players, but whatever asset, like there are guys with some value quickly in these guys. Okay. And they do have draft picks. So what I'm saying is
the draft picks is the farm.
If you give up your resources,
okay, better way
to bring
way to put
in
it.
Donovan Mitchell,
yep.
Then you because of the salary cap, especially if you hold on to RJ Barrett in that deal, mm-hmm. and apparently they don't even want RJ Barrett,
right? Because you got to pay him.
Now you have Brunson, Mitchell, and Barrett. That's going to be your team. That's your team, and that's who you're going to try and win a championship with. It'll never happen.
Well, again, this is what guys like you do. Why does
what do you
it
mean
have
guys
to,
like me?
Because this is what you do. You do the one side of your mouth and the other side of your mouth. Win a championship. They have to get relevant first.
That's what guys like you do.
Make yourself good.
Wait a minute. I'm gonna hoist you by your own petard. This is what guys like you do. It's relevance. The insistence
you are
on
waiting
the team.
And waiting and waiting for the star that you always say they can never get. You always say they're never going to attract a star. No stars want to play there. So what do? Then sit on the treadmill and not be good.
You draft and develop. The insistence
They've
on
been
after
trying
seven,
to do that.
Let's go through the cycle. This is rinse and repeat. This is why the Knicks never win. Every set 3, 4, 5 years, James Dolan brings in a new regime. We all have high hopes. Oh, this will be different. This
has gone on forever. I know. He loves this.
Then they get desperate because they're not making progress fast enough. They don't want to get fired. They make a desperation move. Hopefully, you can get a Carmelo or a Donovan Mitchell. And then they'll never win a championship that way.
A 25-year-old all-star is a desperation move.
If you are,
He's a 25-year-old from New York, three-time all-star.
If you've already signed Brunson, then yes.
Allen Hahn.
Yes.
We have room out west. See, we don't even have to go to these arguments and stuff like that with the Lakers. We don't – that's not – we attract stars in
Yeah, they never go all
ways.
In for Donovan
turns,
Mitchell.
He turns French when he talks about the Lakers. It's always we.
You know? Yeah, so I just – having you two sit and banter back and forth about whether or not it's a good move for Donovan Mitchell and all those sort of things.
You got to get – you got to have something on your
team. Know what Jerry West never did? He never went all in for the superstar who wasn't good enough.
This is what I would say. This is what I would say. The Knicks should get Donovan Mitchell and then figure it out from there.
That's how I feel.
So Brunson and Mitchell is your backcourt. They're both 6 foot one or 6 foot two, whatever.
For now.
For now.
Well, they'll always be 6'1 or 6'2.
Well, no, I don't mean their height.
I know what you mean. Okay.
Well done, though.
And then R.J. Barrett is going to be your and all your money's tied up in those three guys.
You got to move stuff around, though. No, but hold on.
Key. The difference is when the Lakers have everything tied up in LeBron and AD, you still have a chance to bring in pieces. They made a mistake, maybe, with Westbrook, but you have a chance because it's LeBron and AD. When all your assets are tied up in or all your cap space in Brunson, Donovan Mitchell, and RJ Barrett, you got nothing.
What did you say for the last decade? No free agent's going to go there. So what does cap space matter? The Knicks haven't paid luxury tax in like 5 years because of this.
Then you shouldn't have signed Brunson.
You need a point guard. He's the best point guard available on the market.
But now that limits what you should do with Mitchell. It has consequences. That is Allen Hahn. You can hear Allen Hahn and Bart. You can mix it up with Bart Scott and not just me. Bart Hahn.
Key, I hope your birthday party was great.
Noon to three.
I didn't make it.
ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Orny was there.
See, I have an eyeball issue. What was your excuse for not being there?
I didn't get an invite.
Oh,
hey,
well,
yo!
A good excuse.
That's exactly it.
You can catch Allen on Get Up in a few moments, and of course on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Thank
Always
you,
good
boys.
To talk to you, Allen.
Thanks. Guys.
I didn't want to take you away from your family, Hahn.
Coming
they
up,
wish you did.
where will the Raiders and Patriots finish in their divisions? We're going to find out next.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast. A loss for words? Not here. Fill in the blank.
And Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm going to bring in now a man who I could have told you exactly what he would have worn to your 50th birthday party, to the pool party, Key. A lumberjack shirt, of course. So we wear, come on. That's got
to
be your uniform.
If you'd have put on the lumberjack shirt,
yeah,
his ass would have burned up.
It doesn't matter.
It looked hot out there.
James is our producer. He is going to play fill in the blank right now. He's going to host it, as a matter of fact, because I'm going to play it. Go ahead, James.
All right, first one. The Raiders will finish blank in the AFC West.
Third in the AFC West behind the Kansas City Chiefs and the Los Angeles Chargers.
It's so crazy. This is a division where anyone can finish first, including the Raiders. But if I have to pick, I'll say I want to say fourth. I'll say third because it's Russell Wilson's first year there. Now, I'm going to say fourth. There's too much pressure on Russ. He's going to have to get him. He can't be in last place. I'm going to say fourth.
All right, so what I heard there is the Chiefs are still going to finish first in the AFC West. Thank
you.
All right.
You can't not pick the Chiefs until they show you that they're not going to win it.
all right, up next, the Patriots will finish blank in the AFC East. Fill in the blank.
Two. They'll finish behind the Buffalo Bills, fighting to the end to win the division. Buffalo will win the division by two games. That's how that thing's going to go.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree, although I want to say they're going to win the division, but Buffalo's got too much talent. I agree with Key.
The best quarterback wide receiver duo in the NFL right now is blank.
I would say Devontae Adams and Derek Carr until Michael Thomas and Jameis Winston get back on the field together.
I am very comfortable making this pick. I think it's a clear-cut number one.
Who you clapping for, James?
I was waiting for it.
I think there's a clear-cut number one. I'm very comfortable saying easily Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, because each position is at the highest level right now. They're young and getting better. And they played together since college, basically. I got to go Burrow and Chase. Yeah, and by the way, they just came a throw away from winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's true. But year two sometimes is a little bit different because the book is out on Ja'Marr Chase. Defenses won't do the same things with him.
But now T. Higgins, you still got to worry about Higgins.
But they do. But a lot of times when you catch people by surprise, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, yeah. And then you got to make an adjustment. Then the great ones can make the adjustment to the adjustment.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. The Philadelphia 76ers are the blank best team in the East. Fill in the blank. Whew.
I would say fourth in the East. Milwaukee, Miami, and Boston, however you want to slice it up. Brooklyn, I can't put in there because do they even have a team?
I want to say third in the East because I'm with Key on Brooklyn and Milwaukee also, and they've won a championship together and all that. And they got a guy in Giannis. I don't see anyone on Boston or who am I missing? Boston or Miami who I can put up next to Embiid. And now that the roster is deeper and Harden, his hamstring is better and he's played there for a little bit already, I got to think Philly's going to get better. So I'm going to say third in the East.
All right, at the beginning of the season, Kevin Durant will be playing for blank, and Kyrie Irving will be playing for blank. Fill in the blanks.
Kevin Durant will be playing for the Brooklyn Nets, and Kyrie Irving be playing for the Los Angeles Lakers.
Kevin Durant will be playing for the Golden State Warriors, and Kyrie Irving will be playing for the Lakers.
What?
That's how I see it.
Wow. Big prediction there. All right. Juan Soto turning down a 15-year, $440 million contract is blank.
I don't know. What am I thinking about that?
I would say is
because you
logical.
Tell me I got a $500 million, I'm going to take it.
No, I'd say it's logical, though, Key, because they want to pay him under 30 a year when the going rate is over 40 a year. Why would he take under 30?
I mean,
if I'm him, give me the same deal with fewer years. Right? I'll take the 440. I don't need the 15 years, though, because if I'm still good 10 years from now, I'm going to get paid again.
I don't know, man. I'm just not willing to take that risk, I guess.
Key's a little, once it gets into the $500 million range, Key gets a little conservative. He's like, what are we talking about?
Why am I messing up? Like this is Monopoly money or something. Yeah. Like, what the hell's wrong with him?
What are we talking about? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. That was Fill in the Blank. Coming up, the latest on KD and Kyrie in Brooklyn. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.